Morning all. Well, the internet's been down. It's been a Strava-related disaster. Well, Strava, Training Peaks and everything. But hopefully, Audio Boom is still online and we can upload the podcast. But we'll see. We've had a few technical gremlins that have been nipping in and causing us a bit of pain. So let's hope that we can get through the show. We will see. Fingers crossed. Welcome to the team car. This chaos this morning. School run done. Now speeding my way. Not speeding, literally, of course. But trying to make my way to work. So navigating hands-free the back streets of Yaxley. Anyway, how are you all? Hope you had a good cycling-filled weekend. This weekend, with the daylight situation improving, it was the first weekend I'd got out four consecutive days. So Thursday morning, Friday evening, that was a little bit more tight with lights, and then Saturday and Sunday. And by Sunday, I was struggling quite a lot. It was cold, wasn't it, and windy. There was the end of Storm Doris, so it was particularly unpleasant. You may even be able to hear in my voice a smidgen of chill. Of cold from the chill, but it was good. It was nice to get out there, and these are all important miles. And while, you know, I didn't ride hundreds of miles, there was still just shy of 100 miles packed in over those days. So good, enjoyable ish, if not tough. So hopefully you all had good miles and good riding this weekend as well. Fingers crossed, let us know if you did or you didn't. So yeah, the start of the proper cycling season. I think that this podcast, I've tried to be reasonably constructive over the first 49 episodes, this being the 50th, the half century. I've tried to be reasonably constructive in my philosophy. But actually, you know what? I'm old fashioned. I like cycling from the old days, and you know what? I don't care if that's viewed as a little bit you know, regressive, then fine. You know, I can deal with that. So for me, the season actually really started this weekend with Omloop Het Nieuwsblad and Kern of Brussels Kern. And to be fair, I haven't listened back to much of last week's show, so I literally have no idea A, if we predicted who would win, and B, if we got anywhere near with those predictions. But I'm sure we predicted Jürgen Rolantz to win both. That would be about right. First, we'll cover Nieuwsblad, because that was on Saturday, and it was a race of some excitement, really. It wasn't necessarily the cobbles or whatever. It was the crosswinds and the cold, really, that filtered the men from the boys and left us in a position where we were down to a proper select group, and that select group kind of broke clear over one of the final bergs and stayed clear, thanks to Peter Sagan pretty much riding it in on his own. Greg Van Avermaet was in the break, and our hero Sepp Van Marker, and between them they kind of did enough to stay clear, but no more, certainly no more, and that left them riding into the suburbs of Ghent in a position where they were able to sprint it out. And the groups behind kind of tried to get organised, but the problem was, with the wind and the splits happening as they did, quite some way out, sort of 60-70 k's out, that meant that there wasn't enough firepower in the group behind to get a proper orchestrated chase together, which meant that, you know, Quickstep missed out, Lotto Soudal missed out, and you normally Belgian semi-classic with those two teams missing the breakaway is done, because they would put Terpstra, or you know, they'd put a combination of Terpstra, Lars back from Lotto, those kind of guys on the front, and they would take the breakaway back. But they literally didn't have enough people in that second group away from the split to be able to facilitate that chase, which may be a stroke of genius on the part of Greg Van Avermaet and Sagan. Or it may just have been the fact that there was nothing left for them to do. They just couldn't get the chase going. And Kerner Brussels Kerner kind of almost, in a way, followed the same pattern, even though it followed the pattern from a more flattish finishing circuit. It did. It was kind of a telegraphed sort of attack. You kind of knew that Stuyven had done it pretty much in a similar spot the year before, and you knew that from his perspective that was how he could win the race, and he did it. And Sagan managed to tack on to the breakaway again. It was a bit stronger this time. Luke Rowe was in there, and so there, and Tesh Benoot. So there was the opportunity for them to actually really establish their credentials as a working breakaway. The chasing group, bizarrely, on this funny finishing circuit in Kurna, and between Kurna and Kortrijk, they actually got really, really close to them with like a couple of laps of that finishing circuit to go, but it then just seemed to break and they were gone. And once the chase was given up, the chase was given up, and the difference being that Trentin from Quickstep was in the breakaway on Sunday, and Benoot from Lotto, which meant that the big two Belgian teams, while they would have been reasonably comfortable with the people that were in there. As it happened, it didn't quite go to a sprint even. Sagan himself kind of, it was almost like a semi-sprint, semi-attack. It was from about 300 metres out. I think it was like 285, the analysts kind of said. But he went from like 300 metres out, which is a little bit longer than you would usually expect, but he was gone and clear. And okay, Stuyven got a little bit close to him, but there was an element of finessing towards that. So that took us to the end of Kurna, Brussels Kurna. So a Greg Van Avermaet win on the Saturday and a Peter Sagan win on the Sunday. And okay, so people are saying these are the warm-up races. If this is indicative of how Flanders and Roubaix will go, and even Gent-Wevelgem to that extent, then we're in for a pretty good few weeks of racing, because the top guns are out there and firing. Sky, they're okay. They weren't brilliant. Luke Rowe got into the breakaway, but he had to use a lot of his effort to get across to that particular Kurna, Brussels Kurna winning breakaway, which probably meant he was always an underdog for the sprint late on. Which was a shame, really. As for other notable performances, difficult to say, really, Jürgen Rolantz was in the break for the long, big break of Kurna, Brussels Kurna, so hopefully that's him tuning up for Flanders. Sepp van Marck looked in good shape on the first of the two. There was Christoph had a fall on the first day, but was okay. Tony Martin had a really bad crash and has required stitches. And of course, everyone was looking at Tom Boonen. Could he win Nieuwsblad and fill in that massive gap in his cycling CV, or palmarès, as they like to call it? And no, he couldn't, because he fell off on a particularly devilish section of cobbles that I do remember. For some bizarre reason, I've got a vivid memory of some of the stretches of the cobbles from Flanders and not others. And I remember riding along that particular stretch that did for half of the field in Het Nieuwsblad. And it looks really flat on TV, but there is a real, like, kind of nagging gradient to it. But, it's a hard section of cobble, so you can forgive riders for making mistakes. So this week we have the glorious Strada Bianchi on Saturday. Hopefully some good weather for that, because those rider identification will be very much a debacle if the white roads of Tuscany are wet and generating the kind of scenes we saw in the Giro all those years ago with Cadel Evans and David Miller's muddied faces. And today the Grand Prix Le Samin, which was Nicky Terpstra and Scott Thwaites had an epic battle in that last year. Also pretty good cobbles, but some steep sort of bergs, so that'll be interesting to see how that one goes. The weather forecast isn't great apparently, so we'll see some proper decent Belgian racing there. So that's all for this week. We are done. Thank you very much for listening to episode 50 of the Fendrian podcast. Keep an eye on our social media channels, because our Tour of Cam's kit is now sorted. We're still reviewing the Godfrey Bikewear Elite range as well, so plenty to hopefully keep you entertained in the coming weeks. So take care, and we'll see you again next week on the show, week 51.